Right. Stairway to Paradise. Now, as is normal with me, we're going to start with a song. Perhaps not one that you may usually listen to on a Sunday. Okay, that was a song that was written by Ira and George Gershwin back in the 1920s for a Broadway musical when dancing wasn't all sort of considered appropriate. But if you look at the words, "I'll build a stairway to paradise with a new step every day," this got me thinking about how we build, the materials we build with, and where our focus is. So today, we're going to look at two passages of scripture that talk about stairways to heaven. One that man built in order to try to reach the heavens, and one that God has put in place to provide a way for us to reach heaven. We're going to look at both, we're going to compare the differences, and then we're going to ask the question, which stairway are you building on? Are you on one of your own, using your own tools and materials? Or are you building your life upon God's stairway to heaven? So our first scripture passage is found in Genesis chapter 11, and it's about the Tower of Babel. That is quite small, so if you want to look at it in your Bibles, Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Do any of you actually know where the Tower of Babel is or was? No? Well, archaeologists have often asked that same question, and it's widely considered that Shinar, which is the place that the Bible says the event took place, was a territory in South Mesopotamia, and that Babel was located at Babylon. We know that Nimrod, the great-grandson of Noah, established his kingdom in the land of Shinar, and that the land of Shinar actually included the towns Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh, And if you want more information on that, you can find it in Genesis 10. Now, the Tower of Babel was not a Jack and the Beanstalk type construction. It's best understood as an ancient ziggurat. Now, a ziggurat is a man-made structure with a temple at its top. And that's an artist's interpretation of what we think a ziggurat may have looked like. Some of them are in pyramid shape, but that one to me looked more like the tower that the people of Babel might very well have tried to build. What we do know is that ziggurats were often used to worship creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And historical records do tell us that the Great Ziggurat of Babylon, which we think this one was 300 feet in height, which probably would have been quite an accomplishment in those days. But why did the people build this tower? Well, they said, "Let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Now, the descendants of Noah all spoke one language. Up until this point in the Bible, there was just one language for all people. And the people that lived in Shinar wanted to build this city with a tower because they wanted to be the number one people. They wanted to be the people that everybody looked at and said, they are the ones who have built this city. But this decision that they made was a direct refusal to obey God's command to go out and fill the whole earth. They wanted power and prestige. They wanted to be more important than anyone else. They wanted to choose their own destiny. But God has a different plan and purpose. He is the one who determines destiny, and the people of Babel would find out the hard way. So what's the meaning behind this story? Well, it all started with a great king called Nimrod. Nimrod was a very significant man in ancient times. He was the grandson of Ham and the great-grandson of Noah. He feared neither God nor man. And by birth, he had no right to be a king. But he was a strong man. He was a mighty man. He was called a great hunter. And his followers grew in number very quickly. And soon he became the mighty king of Babylon. Everything was going great for him. Everybody spoke the same language. And then he made his fatal mistake. He wanted to be really famous. He wanted everyone to know him and how great he was. So he convinced the people that they too could be great if they built this tower that reached to heaven. So the people went to work making bricks for the tower. And the scripture told us that they used brick instead of stone and tar instead of mortar. They used man-made materials instead of the more durable God-given materials that he had provided for them. But what they were really doing was building a monument to themselves to call attention to their own abilities and their own achievements, instead of giving glory to God. The people also convinced themselves that by building this tower, they would stay united. Since they already spoke the same language, they would be building the tower together. Their pride took over, and all they thought about was how big and how best they could make this tower. When God came down to see them, he could see that their hearts were focused on themselves and not on him. He perceived their intentions, and he knew that this stairway would only lead the people away from God. God was concerned that these people had too much freedom to do as they wished, So he brought into existence multiple languages. God confused their language, causing them to speak differently so that they wouldn't understand each other. And it says that they were babbling. Imagine what would have happened if the people hadn't tried to build that tower and focused on God instead. There is the possibility that we would all be speaking the same language today. What's interesting to note is the word Babel originally meant gateway to God. But after God mixed up their language, it meant confusion. Even the word Babel that we use today is said to be to come from that day when everyone was babbling with confusion. This story is about pride. And we all know that pride is when you think you're better than somebody else. But the problem with this is that God hates pride. When we think we're better than others, we also start to think that we don't need God and that we can handle things on our own. But God made us to need him. We always need God. He wants us to depend on him and ask him for help. If we think that we've got everything figured out, we're really going our own way and we're turning away from God. And in this story, we see how God handles pride. The people could have done amazing things for God when they all spoke the same language, and they could have been unified that way. But instead, they ended up with disunity and disharmony. Now, one of the Bible verses that we have on our website and here on the banner at the front is Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. And this story is definitely a case of where builders laboured in vain. They had their own priorities. They used their own materials. But they never reached their goal. Everything was stripped away from them because they forgot to put God first and follow his leading. So before we move on to our second scripture, there's just a couple of questions that I want you to try and consider. What do you think God sees when he looks down on you and what you're building with your life? Does he see that you're building with God-made materials? Or have you slipped into using man-made materials, trying to build in your own strength? I just want you to think about that and to keep it in the back of your mind as we now look at our second Bible passage. Now, how many of you can remember that from Sunday school days? Yes, yes. Well, we're going to listen to it, but we're going to listen to a rather unusual interpretation of it by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
let them carry on their own little party. And we're now going to look at the story of Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28. This is quite a long passage. It covers two slides, so please bear with me. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and travelled towards Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." But he was also afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven." The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow: "If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshipping God. And I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me." Now we know that Jacob, the son of Isaac and grandson of Abraham, was fleeing from his twin brother Esau, who had vowed to kill him. Esau was furious because Jacob had stolen Esau's birthright, the Jewish claim to inheritance and blessing. So on his way to his relative's house at Haran, Jacob lay down for the night near Luz. He was out in the middle of nowhere. It was dark, probably cold, and he slept on the hard ground with only a stone for a pillow. As he was dreaming, he had a vision of a ladder or a stairway. And that stairway was between heaven and earth with God's angels going up and coming down. Jacob saw God standing above the ladder, and God repeated the promise of support he had made to Abraham and Isaac. He told Jacob his offspring would be many, blessing all the families of the earth. And God said, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." This dream is a message. The entire dream symbolizes God's awesomeness, his control, and his faithfulness. And when Jacob awoke, he believed that God was present in that place. In that dark, cold, lonely place, God met Jacob. And I imagine that that's probably something we can all relate to, for we've probably all had experiences of being in dark places and thinking, how on earth am I going to find God here? But you know, God is everywhere, And God meets us in all the places that we find ourselves in. There is no place beyond the reach of God. No place that he cannot find. God met Jacob in his solitary barrenness and assured him of his place in the covenant. Jacob acknowledged the reality of that divine encounter, and he made an appropriate response. He took the stone that he'd been resting his head on, poured oil on it, and consecrated it to God. And then he made a vow. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. When God speaks to us, we also need to make an appropriate response. We need to recognize those encounters with God and acknowledge and surrender to his lordship over our lives. It's in this passage that God reveals himself to Jacob and reaffirms the covenant he has made with Abraham, promising Jacob that his offspring will be many, and the promised land will one day belong to his descendants. In this vision, Jacob sees something similar to a ladder or a stairway, which signifies a connection between God and man. The stairway signifies uninterrupted fellowship between God and man. And this represents two things. One, the providence of God, for there is a close communication kept up between heaven and earth. And two, the mediation of Christ. At this point in time, Jacob didn't know that Christ would be a descendant from his line, and access to the eternal promised land would be through him. And most scholars today interpret Jacob's ladder as that connection with God taking the initiative to reach out to man. The perfect ladder is Jesus Christ, who was God come to earth to save humanity. Everything we receive from God comes through Jesus. And in John 1:51, Jesus refers to himself as this ladder. And Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." No one else is uniquely qualified to stand in the position that Jesus does. The ladder reaches all the way down to earth, for he is all man. And it reaches all the way up to heaven, for he is all God. The Lord Jesus alone stands with one foot in heaven and one foot on earth, bridging the gap between the two. He is the ladder by which God reaches down to man, and man reaches up to God. God wanted Jacob to understand that he was communicating with him. Have you ever felt that God was speaking to you, maybe in a dream, just like Jacob? God will move our hearts in the direction that he wants us to go if we are quiet and sensitive to his leading. And if you remember when Rob Scott Cook was here a couple of weeks ago, he said, "The closer you are to the heart of God in worship, the clearer you will hear the word of God." Despite the fact that Jacob made some major mistakes, God loved him and chose to bless him. And there is a book called Angels in Our Lives, written by Marie Chapin, And in that she says, what a promise. In this contact of heaven to earth, we see a picture of how the mind and heart of God works. Does he labour and stew over our faults and sins? No, he sees our purpose and our destiny. Jacob was dishonest. In fact, he was a cheat. But is that how God saw him? Absolutely not. God saw him as the man he created him to be, the patriarch of Israel. And this shows us that no matter how far we've gone from him and his purpose for our lives, he is right there to set us back on our true course as our true selves. What a hope that gives us, to know that God sees our destiny and not our past. He sees our purpose and not our failures. When we give everything over to God, he provides the stairway that leads to our internal inheritance. And that stairway, being Jesus Christ, is also a support structure that enables us to reach out and take hold of the hand of God, to lift us out of the world and up into his presence. We mustn't forget the angels, though, that Jacob saw going up and down that ladder. And that is a really important point, because this is where we see God answering the prayers that are taken up by the angels to heaven, and then they come back down with the answers from God. And in Julie Mayer writes, Jacob saw with his own eyes direct communication between heaven and earth. He saw God at the top of the stairs, watching and listening. And then Jacob began to talk to God. Jacob began to pray. What if Jacob was actually seeing a picture of what prayer looks like? For Jacob saw that God was listening and acting on behalf of those who call out to his name. God was sending out his heavenly host from the midst of his throne. At Jacob's ladder, the angels ascended and descended. They ascended with petitions and descended with answers. And this is what we need to remember. Angels never ascend and descend empty-handed. As we pray, the angels are always ministering. The angelic ministry is real and has everything to do with answered prayer. This vivid image of Jacob's ladder shows just how much God cares for us and how actively involved the angelic beings are in our lives. The ladder in Jacob's dream was a divine holy stairway and gives us a beautiful picture of God's interaction with men. Whenever you're struggling with life, look upwards. Look with God's eyes and see the angels ascending the ladder with your prayers and coming back down again with God's answers. This is prayer at work. So if we compare those two stories that we looked at, Jacob's ladder is God's outreach from heaven to earth. The Tower of Babel is man's grasping from earth to heaven. Are you trying to climb to heaven on a stairway of your own good works and behaviour? Or are you taking the stairway of God, his plan of salvation? If you had a choice, which stairway would you choose? Might seem quite obvious, really. Of course you're going to choose God's stairway. But you know, there are often times when we step out without thinking, and we do our own thing, and we carry on building something, without actually taking into account what God wants us to do. We build our plans on what we think we ought to be doing rather than God's direction. In Jacob's dream, it was God who provided the means necessary to link himself to man, as opposed to the men of Babel, who built the stairway to heaven with a motive of self-promotion. One way is God-centered, the other way is self-centered. And these two passages of scripture also tell us about salvation. One group tries to reach heaven by their own actions, aside from God's help. But the other group has access to heaven based on the provisions of God. Jesus is our ideal Jacob's ladder, who came to earth from the line of Jacob through the provisions of God and redeemed us so that we might have access to live in heaven for eternity. Earlier, I asked you to think about two questions. What do you think God sees when he looks down on you and the life you're building? And are you building your life with God, using God-given materials? Or have you slipped into habits using your own man-made materials? Only you can answer that. And today we've looked at what happens when we try and do things in our own strength, like the people of the Tower of Babel. And we've looked at taking the stairway of God's provision with all the blessings that gives us. One way, you can lose everything. The other way, you can gain everything. We started out by listening to the words of the song, "I'll build a stairway to paradise with a new step every day." The question I want to leave you with is, which stairway will you choose?